Hello, hello.
Aloha.
I hate it when you take such long pauses.
Because I'm trying to come up with something clever to say.
And aloha then I don't have was anything. What you came up with?
Usually it's just, hi, after like 4 second delay.
This time it was aloha after a longer one?
Welcome back to Creeps and Coffee, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, to our Canadians.
Oh, yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving dinner?
I was so full. I was in physical pain.
And that, folks, is what Thanksgiving is about.
Yeah.
The amount of gravy that I ate was insanity.
Well, speaking of, we're actually talking about Skinwalkers.
We've been doing this show for 2 years. Topics. We've been doing this show for 2 years. And I don't think there's ever been...
the segue.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's ever been a smoother segue than that. Jamie, before we jump into our conversation for today, what do you think a skinwalker would eat for Thanksgiving?
Apple skins, only the skins, and children.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Jane. And this is Creeps and Coffee,
a show where we talk about the dark parts of the world around us.
Cryptids, conspiracies, things that go bump in the night.
And the crimes behind the scariest creatures of all, humans.
Join us as we take a look at the stories sure to give you the creeps.
Pull up a seat, grab a coffee,
and let's have a chat.
Well, thanks to that glorious segue, Jamie has divulged our topic for today. But we've talked about skinwalkers before. Today is going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We're not just talking about skinwalkers, but for our second spooky season episode, themed episode, I guess, we're talking about Skinwalker Ranch. That's supposed to be the X-Files music.
What? Oh.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Anyway.
Skinwalker Ranch.
But yeah, so, Skinwalker Ranch.
Do you want me to first and foremost remind people what a skinwalker is?
I think that would be fantastic, because it's very important to have a good understanding of what that is.
So, I will first and foremost refer people back to our Skinwalker episode. I believe it's called Skinwalkers for Dummies.
I think it is. I think I thought of that name.
Yeah, we just explain everything about skinwalkers. Go check that out in more detail. I will only briefly go over it now. Skinwalkers are part of Navajo culture, also known as Yi Natalahushi. I don't think I said that amazing, but I tried.
The attempt was there.
And, like, the translation is... It means it goes on all fours.
Nope.
I knew you were going to say that.
I think I said that last time, too. I think so. I had that exact reaction. That makes me itchy in ways that I can't explain.
Yeah. I mean, fair. Skinwalkers are basically surface level, just they're evil witches with the ability to shapeshift into animals or other humans. They can, like, imitate people's voices and sounds to lure you into the woods. Just very scary. You don't want to see one. You don't want to encounter one.
No, not in the slightest.
Yeah.
I think people get... And I don't know if we talked about this in the episode, because it feels like it's been forever since we did it. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people get the Skinwalker and the Wendigo mixed up.
Yeah.
They are different things.
Yes.
Like the skinwalker.
Similar, I mean, but different.
Yeah, I think the Wendigo, I mean, I wouldn't want to encounter either of them
in Wendigos the woods. Scare me more, to be honest.
Mm.
They look scarier to me.
They look scarier, but I think the connotation of a skinwalker, of it being... So, a lot of Navajo culture, like Jamie said, considers it to be, like, almost the Navajo version of black magic that's consciously being used. And when a medicine man makes the conscious decision to practice with negative energy and negative spirits,
yeah,
that's when the skinwalker thing comes into it. So there's a conscious decision of evil being brought into things. Mm-hmm. And for some reason that feels a lot. And I think that's why the thought of a skinwalker is so menacing.
Yeah.
Because there's no positive spin that you can put on it. With a Wendigo, I feel like at least you can kind of be like, yeah, well, it was a person at one point. But the skinwalker is so much more menacing. And again, not that I would want to run into a Wendigo.
Mm-hmm.
But preferably.
I'll also say, Wendigos could be a whole other episode. They scare me. It's based in, like, cannibalistic stuff as well. So,
The reason we haven't done an episode solely on Wendigos is because of my insane fear of them. So. Yeah.
And, like, I will say, for example, like, a skinwalker, you could let your dog out to go pee in the night. And then, you know, you're like, oh, like, I gotta let Fluffy back in. And you just see your dog standing in the darkness on its hind legs, just staring at you. I'm so sorry for the visual, but, like, that could be a skinwalker. Like, that's not Fluffy.
that's less menacing when you picture my dog doing it.
Because he's, like, a foot long.
Because I have. For those of you who haven't seen my dog Webster is a 7-pound miniature dachshund.
So to be fair, he is scary.
In general, he's pretty scary. But the thought of him just standing on his hind legs, staring at me, is actually really funny. But it's totally different when it's like a wolf.
Yeah.
So that one, or like menacing. A goat. Don't like that at all.
Yeah.
That makes me feel itchy as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thank you, Jamie. That was a very important connotation to the background of Skinwalker Ranch and why it's become such an infamous piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people have probably heard of Skinwalker Ranch. Maybe they don't know much about it, but they've definitely heard, especially in the paranormal community, they've definitely heard of it. And if you haven't, welcome to your journey. We're happy to introduce you to it. So, like always, in order to have a proper introduction to what it is now, I have to history you a little bit.
Miss Caitlin, I don't like history class. Can I go to the washroom?
No, you can't.
Okay.
You're not allowed.
Darn it.
So,
being punished.
as I've said before, it's my time to shine in many of these episodes. I think a really integral part of understanding why something has become a huge phenomenon is understanding where it's come from in general. Because if we don't understand, whether it's something in sports, in art, in history, in whatever it may be, if we don't understand the origin of it, we can't properly get a good understanding of the significance of its final version or its current state. So we're going to go back a little bit.
Yay.
It's one day someone will appreciate it.
I do sometimes.
So, you'll be interested in this because I'm about to talk about not just skinwalkers, but aliens. Exactly. So, in the grand scheme of ufology, there's an area in northeast Utah which has been considered just a hotbed of activity for so many years. Outside of the paranormal community, the area that's known as Uinta County was largely unrecognized. It's a pretty unexciting place just south of Fort Duchesne in Utah. Big Mormon community. lots going on, but not an exciting, a lot of ranches. This would change drastically when, in June of 1996, a couple named Terry and Don Sherman shared their experiences living in what would come to be known as UFO Valley, specifically as the owners of Skinwalker Ranch. So, Terry and Don were pretty normal people. They had this huge cattle ranch. The original article that they released their statements in was from a newspaper called the Deseret News. That article claims that Skinwalker Ranch, or the Sherman Ranch, which is what I should call it at this point, because it wasn't Skinwalker Ranch then. The Sherman Ranch was 480 acres.
Whoa.
More recent claims are saying that it's 512 acres. This could be that the people that own it currently have gotten more land. It could be that the original article was wrong. Whatever the case may be, it was several hundred acres of land. It was a large ranch. Not that there's such thing as a small ranch. They're all objectively pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of a ranch. Anyway, so while living on their several hundred acre ranch, the Shermans experienced 15 months of just terrifying and confusing activity that would leave them feeling really helpless and concerned. They had two young children. A lot of these things were going on that were fully out of their control and beyond their understanding. So it was a really unsettling experience for them to be living where they were. To begin talking about the ufology side of things, they had a lot of experiences with unidentified flying objects. So, there were three distinct types of UFOs that they saw repeatedly. So there was a small box-like craft with a white light. There was a 40-foot-long flying object that they couldn't really distinguish shape or color to. They just knew that it was large. And there was a huge ship that was the size of several football fields. So none of these are things that I would ever want to see in the sky.
Yeah.
Especially if I had kids. No, no. Thanks. So they also said, and this is a direct quote from the article, that when some of these UFOs would appear, there would be a, quote, orange circular doorway that seemed to appear in midair, unquote, that these UFOs would come through. Now, I don't care for that shit at all.
Yeah.
And I think a weird thing about UFO sightings, and this is kind of a side note, is that a lot of UFO sightings talk about orange lights, orange and red lights. So I haven't seen a lot of people talk about a connection between those specific colors of lights, but I just think it's interesting that this is, on top of everything else that is a similar circumstance in UFO activity, this is a really, really common occurrence. So what are these orange lights? Where are they coming from? What's producing it? All of these questions that no one will ever have answers to.
Mm-hmm.
Terry and Don somehow managed to get multiple of these sightings on videotape. Not super clear. It was 1996, so the camera quality was not quite what it would be now. But it was also 1996, so it wasn't black and white film only and like super shaky and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So with these UFOs, Jamie, what's the one thing that we often associate with UFOs landing?
Crop circles.
Crop circles. Good job. Nailed it.
I was going to say aliens, but then I was like, nope, use your brain.
There you go. For once, you got there. So
200 points.
Boom. Nailed it. Oh. Foreshadowing? Crazy. So when it comes to crop circles, the Shermans said that there was often crop circles that they would spot at different parts of their property. there were, most notably, there was a circumstance where there were three circles of flattened grass in a triangular pattern, so two for a base and one at the top. Each of them were about 8 feet in diameter and about 30 feet from each other. Mm. So these are big. There's no disruption around them in, like, the crops around the circles, as if someone was walking up to it. It looked as if a craft had landed, and it was far too symmetrical for it to seem coincidental. Mm. Like I said, other crop circles had been consistently found in nearby pastures along the Sherman's property in the time that they lived there, but the occurrence of these specific huge crop circles in the main area was really unsettling. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to use that word a lot, but that's the reality, is this stuff is not
terrifying, but it's like, ooh.
It's like, what is going on my property? Yeah. There's something unknown. You want to be able to figure out what that is. Unfortunately, you can't always do that. In addition to these crop circles popping up, the lights and the voices that would come at different spots on the property were really throwing Terry and Dawn for a loop. Mm-hmm. Is Dawn her name? Yeah. Second-guess myself for a minute. I was like, did I just make that up? Dawn reported that there was a light that would chase her when she was pulling into the property, like coming back home. There was a white light that would float above her vehicle and chase her. Dawn and Terry both reported that the animals, because it was a ranch, they've got their cows, they've got their farm dogs, they've got their other, I don't know, normal ranch animals that you would see on a ranch. Mm-hmm. All of these things. Would you believe that my family were farmers for years?
No.
But that these animals were being bothered continuously by ominous and unexplained lights and sounds. It was like something that they could not see was tormenting their animals. Mm-hmm. And just causing them to act out, causing them to be uncomfortable. Like, there was a lot going on. One thing that was super unsettling to me was an account from Terry, where he said he heard male voices speaking an unknown language, seemingly above him, but he couldn't see a thing. So he said that it sounded like about 25 feet above the ground where he was. It sounded like there was a group of men speaking to each other, but he could not make out what they were saying. And I hate that. I don't like whispering. I don't like mumbling. I don't like if I don't know what's being said.
Yeah.
But perhaps most notably, Jamie's yawning. Perhaps it's most notably,
because I'm tired,
not because of you. Okay, whatever you say. Something that gets talked about a lot in regards to Skinwalker Ranch and in regards to the Uintah County area in general is cattle mutilations. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go into detail on these cattle mutilations. There are some great books that we'll talk about later on that go into some detail to really understand the graphic nature of these mutilations. But what's important to understand is that these mutilations were very surgical and very precise, but there was not a drop of blood anywhere.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a vicious attack from an animal. A lot of, like, my grandparents owned a dairy farm. You got to be careful about wolves and coyotes. You got to be careful about creatures that are preying on your large livestock. Could not think of the word livestock there. Your large livestock. But if that happens, there's telltale signs that a wolf attacked your cow. Mm-hmm. Wolves are not pulling out a scalpel and cauterizing wounds and shocking, I know.
They mutilate in different ways, but not with a scalpel.
Exactly. They're not surgically precise about taking certain parts of intestines. They're not,
I guess.
They're not making specific incisions in strategic areas. But they're also not able to clean up the amount of blood that's coming out of a large cow. Like, that's an insane amount of blood. Mm-hmm. And the fact that over multiple circumstances, these animals were found completely drained of their blood, not soaked into the ground. There's no signs of bleeding anywhere. Some of these wounds are cauterized. Like, there is no physical way, there is no scientific proof that this is humanly possible. So the Shermans tied a multitude of their experiences with the UFO sightings and with the lights and the voices and the tormenting of their animals to the disappearance and the unfortunate death of some of their livestock. At the time of the article from the Deseret, which was June 30th of 1996, three of the Sherman's cows had been found dead and partially mutilated, and four had seemingly completely vanished. And that's another thing about
the innocent cows.
But that's another thing about this situation, is it's really difficult, even on a plot of land that large, it's really difficult for an animal as big as a cow to completely disappear.
Yeah.
There's a lot, unfortunately, there's a lot of times where you'll find a cow that's passed away naturally down by a river, or you'll do a count of your livestock and notice one's missing, and at some spot on your property, you will find a corpse. Mm-hmm. For there to be nothing, not a trace of a hide, no bones, no blood, for there to
They're
be
big,
nothing.
Heavy things. They don't just go away.
So let's look at this. Everything about a Holstein cow, like your typical dairy cow. The average adult Holstein cow, like the black and white, is at least 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
They're big.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that. And even when I was a kid, I was scared shitless of my grandparents' cows. They are such sweet animals. Like, they really are like big puppies. But they are large, and they do not know that they are large.
Yeah.
Like,
a blessing and a curse.
100%. But, like, to make a 1,000-pound animal completely up and vanish is a shocking circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not typical. The Shermans and several other local ranchers, it wasn't just them saying that something was going wrong, claimed to have dealt with cattle mutilations, but they said that local law enforcement wouldn't do anything. Not shocking to anyone, the Uinta County Sheriff's Department denies these claims and claims to have no official reports to share of any cattle mutilations, any disappearing livestock. They're basically saying that none of this ever happened, which is not a shock to anyone.
Convenient.
Interestingly, though, there was a retired junior high teacher named Joseph Hicks, who went by Junior, which is the most, like, rancher thing I've ever heard in my life, who was also an amateur ufologist and had a really, really big interest in the field, I guess, and ended up studying over 400 cases of cattle mutilation himself. He said, and I quote, "I'd estimate over 10% of the population of Uinta Basin has seen something."
Hmm.
So talking about UFOs, talking about animal mutilations, talking about the experience. And there was another local that was interviewed and said that it's harder to find someone who hasn't had some sort of paranormal experience in the UFO Valley than it is to find someone who has. I think that says a lot about the stress that Terry and Dawn would have been under, knowing that these things are just accepted. people think that they're weird, but law enforcement's not doing anything, because what can they do? In this circumstance, I don't really blame them, because, like, what are you supposed to do about the 40-foot-long tube in the sky that disappears through an orange light archway?
You pray.
Well, exactly. Like, they're, especially in Utah. But there's nothing... Yeehaw, Utah. Yeah. But there's nothing that can be done. So the fact that they just had to accept that these things were going on put a lot of strain on Terry and Dawn.
Valid.
100%. So after 18 months of torment, Terry and Dawn... Is it Dawn or Gwen? I have it written down two different ways.
Uh-oh.
It's Gwen. 100% it's Gwen.
You silly goose.
Have I been saying Dawn this whole time?
Definitely.
It's her name is Gwen. Why did I have it written as Gwen. Why? You guys?
Who's Dawn?
I don't know who Dawn is. Dawn's a skinwalker. It has been...
I can't.
It has been a long week for me.
That's fair.
Terry and Gwen. His lovely wife, Gwen. I'm so sorry. They wanted safety for themselves and their kids. And not just for that part of their family, but they're good ranchers. They don't want to see their animals mutilated and hurt. Nobody does. But especially when your livelihood comes from the safety and the security of these animals, you need to move on.
Yeah.
So they listed the property for sale not long after they did this interview with the Deseret. Within 3 months of the story being released, a Las Vegas real estate magnate and major UFO enthusiast named Robert Bigelow bought the land. So this episode could probably be like a four-part series.
Yeah,
When you start talking about Robert Bigelow, the man is an anomaly. He's insane.
Yeah.
And I have conflicted feelings about him and his practices.
Yeah, I've got questions for him.
I've got a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you? But for the purposes of our ideally not 40-hour episode, all you need to know about Robert Bigelow is that in 1995, he founded NIDS, which is the National Institute for Discovery Science, in order to study paranormal phenomena, but most specifically ufology. So Bigelow had a really coveted interest in cattle mutilation and black triangles, which made the ranch the ideal place for him to study things, because these things were happening consistently. So in 1996, within 3 months of June, he purchased Skinwalker Ranch, the Sherman's Ranch, for $200,000. And this is also a side note, but I'm going to rant for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I know the US dollar is way better than the Canadian one, but can you imagine spending $200,000 for a 512-acre property?
That would be like $4 million now, at least.
At least. Dude, you can't even get a starter townhome here for $200,000. Like, 512 acres? Are you kidding me? That's obviously beside the point. But I was just, that just occurred to me. I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. And then I thought about the land for a second, and I was like, no, it's not.
Yeah. To us, it's a lot of money.
It, like, in general, $200,000 is a big number. In the grand scheme of things, that is pocket change. Especially for Robert Bigelow. This man had an insane amount of money. Like, it's nuts. And for why? I don't know. He's the type of guy that just, like, he almost reminds me of Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
I knew exactly who you meant. of just like an insane man who has the funding for all of these crazy ideas, but no real purpose for why he's doing them.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I know we said we don't need a huge background on Bigelow, but he just, like, so in 2013, he started doing commercial real estate because he wanted to be able to get money to do space real estate. Because in 1999, he also founded this company called Bigelow Aerospace, which is a whole other can of worms, but essentially was funding space travel. And in 2017, he put out a statement saying that he planned to put an inflatable space hotel owned by Bigelow Aerospace into orbit by 2022. And he worked with NASA to, like, make this shit happen.
Sorry, where is this now?
Oh, so Bigelow Aerospace is out of business now. In 2020 with COVID, he laid off all members of his staff.
So if it wasn't for COVID, we'd be in space.
Apparently. And then he sued NASA in 2021. Saying that he wasn't paid properly for testing and development of his space hotel. So, okay. Like, the dude's nuts. But in, like, almost an endearing way. I don't know. It's crazy to me. But this is the kind of dude that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So, NIDS. The important part of this. The National Institute for Discovery Science was a really fundamental part of ufology. Like, I won't deny that. As weird as Bigelow is, he brought together a really, really solid group of scientists and investors and professional paranormal enthusiasts to do all of the research that was necessary at the ranch.
Yeah.
So, Bigelow acquires the ranch. Now is sort of where we can talk about how it becomes Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
And why it's what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, the history wasn't that bad, right? Like, that was...
It could have been worse.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
So, March 12th, 1997. Not long after Bigelow has bought Skinwalker Ranch. An employee of NIDS, a biochemist named Colm Kelleher, who was also a guest on Astonishing Legends and has the most relaxing voice to talk, like, to listen to. It's nuts. So Colm Kelleher was working, doing research a lot. But this is exactly what I mean. He's a prime example of the types of employees that were at Skinwalker Ranch doing biochemical analysis on the land to see if there was a reason that the blood wasn't showing up, to see if there was, like, a physical phenomenon that was being interrupted. But they're doing all of this testing. So Colm Kelleher is working on the land, doing his thing, when he sees what he describes as a large humanoid creature spying on the research team from a tree about 20 feet off the ground.
Mm.
Already unsettling.
Yeah.
He says the only thing you can see is the yellow light of unblinking eyes staring directly.
Mothman.
Maybe. Kelleher, rightfully so, grabbed a rifle, fired a gun at the creature, to no effect. It disappeared. All that it left behind in the region of the tree was like a huge print in the snow that looked like there was a claw. So I don't like that.
Yeah.
This is something that the Shermans didn't really talk about. But not only was it UFOs that they were seeing, it was a significant amount of interactions with these humanoid creatures that had just something a little bit off about them.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, Terry talked about seeing a wolf three times the size of a normal wolf.
Mm-hmm.
That was very aggressive. And again, Terry shot it with a rifle to no effect.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, you could tell that this was not a wolf. There was just everything about it looked like a wolf, but you knew by looking in its eyes that it was not. So, I don't know if you want to jump into some more, like, skinwalkery aspects of things from there.
Not necessarily skinwalkery, but just kind of literally anything other than the history portion. You might have been exposed to this information.
Yes. So the reason that we have a lot of the information about it is mm-hmm. because of Colm's interactions.
Yes.
So Colm, along with a TV journalist named George Knapp, mm-hmm. wrote the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, which was mm-hmm. about the experiences of the crew at the ranch. Mm-hmm. And obviously working with George Knapp, who is in TV and film, they ended up working to produce some of the multiple shows mm-hmm. about Skinwalker Ranch. Sorry.
Yes. You're good. Yeah, so there's two films involving Skinwalker Ranch, one called Skinwalker Ranch and one called Hunt for the Skinwalker. You've got multiple TV shows, like Caitlin said. You've got Lost Tapes, Portals to Hell, Project Blue Book. Ancient mm-hmm. Aliens did a feature on Skinwalker Ranch.
Project Blue Book
mm-hmm.
is based on interactions and stuff that was done by Bigelow Aerospace mm. and NIDS.
I love how you know all this.
I love this topic.
Yes. you've got The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch and UFO the docuseries. You're welcome. and yeah, I kind of just want to go over, not necessarily skinwalkers, but like all the paranormal stuff that happened there. Caitlin already talked about that giant wolf that should not exist. The creature that had the, like, left the claw marks. I still think it's Mothman. It's fine.
It's not Mothman. He's in Virginia.
He can fly. You've got the cattle mutilation, which makes me sad. Don't kill cows, please. If you're a skinwalker and you're listening to this, please don't kill cows. They're my friends.
Yeah, because a skinwalker just has AirPods in.
Sorry, you're right. If you're an alien, please don't kill cows. They're my friends. So not only has this place been, like, deemed a supernatural spot, and even, like, has a reputation as, like, a hellmouth, especially since, like, 2013, when I feel like that's when it kind of blew up. Mm-hmm. It's also just deemed to be cursed. Fair.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Can't relate. So, yeah, besides those creatures already mentioned and the thoughts of aliens, people also experience skinwalkers or human-like creatures repeatedly. Repeated sightings, multiple supposed shape-shifting spots. I think that would be enough for me to skedaddle. But, you know, to each their own, I guess.
See, this is what I mean about Bigelow, though. Like, the Shermans mm-hmm. dealt with it, lived with it, and they were like, no, gotta skedaddle. Bigelow mm-hmm. was like, give me more of this shit right now.
I get it, but I don't. I get it, but if there's enough proof, I'm out. You win.
I need one experience that's enough proof.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing about the skinwalker aspect of it is that there's so many correlations with these almost human, but just something being wrong and an evil presence being felt. Like, that is the quintessential depictor of a skinwalker. But, like Jamie said at the beginning, the skinwalker is from Navajo folklore and Navajo origin stories. But the Sherman Ranch was 400 miles north of any Navajo tribe.
Mm-hmm.
There was no connection to it. It was, however, next to Ute territory. Mm. So what's interesting about that, and there's a really interesting article from History about how when the Utes and the Navajo were crossing paths, it was not a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They were very much opposed to each other. They were not two different tribal bands that went together well at all. The Navajo supposedly were more aggressive. They had Ute slaves. And obviously when those occurrences happened, that created a direct conflict between the Navajo and the Ute, especially when the Navajo tried to move upwards into Ute territory.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that that territory now would be Pagosa Springs and Durango, which are areas in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me that there is no connection between, like, there's no close ties between Navajo tribes and where the Sherman Farm is.
Mm-hmm.
But could some level of animosity between the Navajo and the Utes and Navajo members kind of sneaking into Ute territory, could that have potentially transferred some of the Skinwalker lore into the region without people even knowing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Food for thought.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Oh. They also claim, you know, of course, the flying saucers, those mysterious lights, which I'll actually get into more, unknown illnesses, just essentially, there's so much unknown and so little proof that obviously it's gone viral. People want to know what happens, but don't break in. Don't just show up at the ranch. That you can't break and enter. That's illegal.
It's super gated.
Yeah, like, they just will letting not you know, let you. Don't go visit. Like, it is private property.
It is. Bigelow actually sold it in 2016 to an unknown investor called...
Suspicious.
It's owned now by Adamantium Real Estate. And no one actually knows who that is. But there's a lot of theories that it's still Bigelow. Just under private funding. Which is firmly what I believe.
I like that. I'm open to that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cursed lights. So you already mentioned one where, like, someone got chased, right? Did you mention the one about
Gwen,
the water?
Not Dom. Gwen.
Gwen. Did you mention the one about the water?
I did not, because I don't like to think about it.
Okay. There's a lake on the property. And we have a witness saying they saw a large light, big ball of light, plunge into this water and then pop back out. Don't look at my hands as I make the motions. Don't copy me. And then pop back out. And it was a police officer who saw that in 98. In 2002, four men saw... I hate you. Stop copying me. Stop it! Four men on the lake, I guess it's a reservoir shoreline, saw a blue slash white ball of light enter into this lake. Same thing, it dove into the water just a few feet off of the shore and then emerged seconds later in a different form. Apparently it was like a belt-shaped shaft of light, and it like wriggled around, like did a little dance in the air, as I quote them saying, an aerial dance, and then the light just zipped away at a super high speed. It was like hugging the ground before it like flew up over the top of Skinwalker Ridge, and then it was gone. So multiple people have seen these big balls of light now. One was like attacked by it, and the people believe, I can't remember how Caitlin said it, the Utes, U-T-E, I'm so sorry if I mispronounced it, they believed that springs and certain waterways were reservoirs of negative power, and that there could be evil spirits or evil sprites that would rise up out of the water and drag you in. So what we're thinking is also, besides cursed lights, it could also be cursed water, which you don't need that either.
I don't want to curse anything, especially cursed water.
Correct. So I'll also say that there's been people mentioning that the GPS signals drop off as soon as you hit the fence line of this ranch. People have tried flying drones over and stuff, but apparently whatever it is, something jams the signals and everything stops working.
That's why there was a lot of problems with filming the movies and especially the show, because so much of the technical equipment was being screwed with.
And it's not even cheap stuff. It's like, hey, this is a $50,000 drone. Let's get, like, an overview headshot. Immediately dead. Stop working. Broken. Like, what do you mean? Like, the GPS signals, the things we rely on anytime we open the map on our phones, not available on that ranch.
The thing that I could not live without.
Yes. Precisely. I need it too. And I don't go far.
No, neither do I.
So, Caitlin, do you have anything to say about that stuff before I get into theories?
I don't think so. But I think we've gone over the significant aspects of why Skinwalker Ranch is so fascinating. And the only other thing that I would add, I like that I said I didn't have anything else to add, and now I'm talking a lot.
Yeah.
This is what I do every time.
It's okay.
I think part of the intrigue is the secrecy, especially with the newest owner, not understanding who it is, what's going on, what they're discovering. The fact that we don't know makes us want to know even harder.
The first and foremost one I'll get into is that Robert Bigelow, just a nutter. The all-powerful them, they believe that he's just obsessed with the paranormal and that he has just spun all of these stories just because he wants to believe, and that everyone else is just kind of going along with it. I get it too, but that sucks.
Yeah, but that sucks, and I don't think that's what's happening.
But there's a lot of skeptics who believe that any and everything that has happened on this ranch, it's all an illusion. That they think, not necessarily that it's like a hoax, but they just think that it's not true, that it's wishful thinking.
I think from a skeptic point of view, it can be really, like, it's very simple to be like, yeah, no, there's probably nothing. There's probably a logical explanation. And there probably is at the end of the day. But I think the fact that it's not just the Shermans that experience something, it's not just Bigelow and his crew, it is a consistent amount of people in the area for years. Like, they can't all be delusional. And trust me, I know a lot about delusion.
That brings me to my next theory.
Amazing.
Which, my next theory is actually MIP.
Not MIB.
Mass, I can't say this word, psychogenic illness. Also known as epidemic hysteria. Also known as mass psychogenic disorder. Everybody's crazy. It's a mass thing. People were feeding off of each other's panic and causing themselves to believe things that weren't true. Thoughts on that?
Highly possible. It's, thank you. What were we talking about the other day about? Oh, that was not you that I was having that conversation with. It was about mental health.
Okay.
Talking about mass hysteria with things like Tumblr. Turning that, like, depression into a mass topic and everyone trying to compete with who's the most depressed. I think mass hysteria is something that definitely has occurred, definitely can occur, and definitely will continue to occur, especially with media becoming more fanatical. However, it is not nearly as common or simple of an occurrence as I think a lot of people assume that it is. But it's definitely a possibility. I don't know. I don't think everyone in the county is having like a Chicken Little, the sky is falling experience. Mm. But I think there could definitely be some level of influence in a similar manner.
Well, I'm going to keep piggybacking off of what I said. It's a different theory technically, but it still kind of revolves around people being cuckoo. However, this one isn't their fault. This theory is that it's a geophysical process that's causing the brain to hallucinate. Bear with me while I science-y. A neuroscientist...
Please.
theorized that it could be from geophysical forces like seismic activity, geomagnetic fields, tectonic plates, all the stuff that makes the Earth, you know, have earthquakes, what we're standing on, blah, blah, blah. that the way that they're shifting in that specific area is messing with people's brains, and causing them to have hallucinations. And they think it's, like, changing the local environment as a whole, which would explain why multiple people over the years have seen stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe this one, but maybe there should be some more research into the geophysical aspects of this ranch.
I do think that's an interesting perspective. And I think that's why with people like Colm Kelleher, I think it's interesting that they're involved at all, because that's exactly what they're looking for. They're looking for geothermal interactions. They're looking for biochemical influences on and from the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So to see if something like that is possible on the land. So far, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also all that we know from Bigelow's research is what Bigelow has made public.
The next theory, and you're gonna have to follow through with me, I don't know a lot about this. Quantum entanglement.
Nope.
It could be that quantum entanglement is messing with that specific area, which is why, you know, these cows are disappearing. And no one's finding the bodies, because I don't know how quantum stuff works. Quantum physics, the cows are gone, it's, to a different spot.
Like the orange archway in the sky.
Yeah, you get it. You get what I'm saying. You don't look like you believe it.
It's not that I don't believe it, and it's also not that I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the the concept of quantum anything... Mm-hmm. And the second I start thinking about multiple realities, I shut down.
Okay.
My brain is like, nope, that's too much to process. Because if this reality is the good one, uh-oh.
But yes, people theorize it could be a quantum phenomena. I don't know much about it, so I won't explain it anymore because I can't. No. I don't know math, and I'm not
it's well-versed like, in it. It's like the multiverse.
Yeah, and the fact that this could be happening anywhere, but especially here with what's happened, but they can't prove it because we don't have the tools to prove it. It's called the quantum measurement problem.
See, now I'm thinking about the multiverse. As long as there's a universe where I get to be with Tom Hiddleston, then I'll accept it.
Fair. Next theory, it's aliens.
Oh, okay.
It's just aliens messing around.
Fair. So far, that's the one I support the most.
Literally, I absolutely believe this one the most out of all of them. But it explains the bright lights, the flying objects, the electrical disturbances, the cattle
mysterious interactions.
The surgical
precision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like we need to discuss this one further. We're on the same page.
I am always on the same page with aliens, and our pyramid episode will confirm for you that I will blindly believe that everything is aliens, no matter what. So, you don't have to convince me on that one.
Another theory?
And another thing about theories?
Is that everybody's lying. Everybody's getting a cut of the money from all of these popular shows, movies, books, just everyone involved, all the people who've said they've seen something, like the former owners are getting a cut. What's his name? Robert is getting a significant amount, you know. Witnesses are being paid off. People are being paid to just say they saw stuff. That's a little bit conspiracy theory of me, but it's possible.
I don't see it as plausible.
Okay.
I mean, potentially with Bigelow and his crew and the people that are actually profiting from, like, the show and the media surrounding it. Mm-hmm. But, like, Terry and his wife have very adamantly been like, we want nothing to do with this.
Okay.
This has been a terrifying experience that has ruined our lives. And we don't want anything. So, I wouldn't group them in with that.
Okay. My final theory to present. Also, none of these are mine. I've researched all of these. I didn't come up with any of these ideas. I wish I did. I'm sorry, Kate. I'm going to scare you again. The next theory is that it's interdimensional visitors. Mm. So people from a different dimension, an alternate dimension, an alternate universe, per se, are popping in. They're like, hey, our parallel dimension is different. What's that? A cow? Let's take it back. Oh, we killed it. Let's bring it back.
See, it makes me feel queasy to think about it for too long.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with my jokey answer before and say that as long as there is one of those multiverses where I am with Tom Hiddleston, I'm good.
And those are my theories, my friend.
See, these, I have done research on most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you gravitate toward the most?
Aliens.
Interesting. That's not typically the case.
I know. What do you?
That actually surprises me.
Are you going to say aliens as well?
I'm always going to say aliens.
Well, then I'll change my answer to interdimensional beings.
Well, I was going to change my answer to interdimensional beings.
Okay, aww. No, wait, I choose aliens.
As much as I would like to choose aliens, I think, and I'm going to change it a little bit.
Okay.
I don't necessarily know if I agree with interdimensional in the sake of, like, multiple universe sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe there's an interaction happening. This is the most insane I've ever sounded in my life. I think potentially there's an interaction happening with a higher power.
Okay.
And I think the connection between Navajo tradition and Ute land and all of these, even UFO interactions, I think there has to be some sort of connection with something higher than all of us, whether that be an indigenous creator and an origin experience, whether that be some sort of, my brain wants to say alien overlord, but that's not what I mean. Like
reptilian sort of, overlord.
Obviously, that's Robert Bigelow. But some sort of, like, I don't know, just higher being.
Okay.
That, like, words are hard.
I know.
I think there's too many coincidences for it to not be something. And I'm a firm believer in Occam's razor that the simplest explanation is often the one that it is. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the simplest explanation doesn't always mean humans. The simplest explanation is that there is something going on in this land that we just don't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pretend to know what that is, but it sure makes a lot more sense in my brain that there's something that humans don't quite get yet. And there's a reason that all of these things are drawn to this area of the world. It makes more sense than to try and say that there's some geothermal hysteria.
Okay, well,
you know what I mean?
No.
Okay, well, you said aliens, so...
We're ending this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my perspective on it. I think there's got to be something. And quite frankly, Utah is a very spiritual area. You're surrounded by the mountains and the valleys and all of these areas where paranormal and alien level activities tend to be drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it from Native and Indigenous origin stories is because of the qualities that these mountains bring. So why wouldn't that be the case with this too?
Yeah.
You know? That was the closest she's been to the X-Files theme. We would love to hear what your thoughts are and what your theories are on why Skinwalker Ranch is as much of a phenomenon as it is. Why it's such a significant part of paranormal communities, of ufology, and why we can't figure out what the fuck is going on.
And happy spooky season.
And happy spooky season again.
If
you would like to share your perspective, your theories on Skinwalker Ranch, if you'd like to share your scary stories for spooky season, if you would like to just chat with us, you can send us an email at creepsandcoffee@gmail.com. You can follow along on our weird adventures on our Instagram and our Twitter at creepsandcoffee. If you would like more specific updates or the chance to help support the show, help fuel our caffeine-induced recording sessions, you can check out our Buy Me a Coffee page, which is buymeacoffee.com/creepsandcoffee. We love doing this episode. We love this topic. And we love that it's Halloween time.
I thought you were going to say we love skinwalkers, and I was like, stop.
Nope. That would never come out of my mouth. And we love you.
Aww, it's true.
So thank you for listening. We look forward to jumping back at you with another spooky Halloween-themed episode.
Our Halloween special.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for our very exciting Halloween special, which I'm so pumped about.
Yes.
But yeah, we will see you in the spooky future, my friends.
Yeah, go eat some caramel apples and candy corn.
As long as there's no razors in them.
Oh. Bye.
Creeps and Coffee is produced and edited by us, Kate and Jane.
Our theme music is Stuck in a Hole by Dated.
For more information on where to find them, check out the link in our show notes. And to connect with us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter @creepsandcoffee.